Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready? Here we go. We're up to today a new Mizmor, Mizmor Lamed Vav. Mizmor Lamed Vav, what is the topic? So on the page, on this page itself, I think I saw three different ideas as to, in reference to what was this written. First pshat is you know, this is something that unfortunately we really should do better. Go through the background and Sefer Shmuel to the specific events. And here, this it's a continuation of Mizmor Lamed Hey, where David is suffering greatly from his son Avshalom. Avshalom rebelled against his father. Avshalom actually wanted to kill his father, and came very close to doing so, and he fled. David fled, David left the palace, and David's enemies took advantage of the situation. Whenever there is, this is a common mitzvah in this world, whenever there is a tekufa of chaos, so people who are crazy take advantage. People take advantage and they try to do things that under ordinary circumstances are unable to do. Throughout the world, throughout it's always like that. There are mishugoyim who have crazy ideas, who want to do crazy things. It's just that they can't do it because the world doesn't tolerate it. But when there is a matziv of weakness in the world, there's chaos, that is a ripe opportunity for them to take advantage. David had a private issue with his son, Avshalom. But David also had many enemies. For some reason, David had a lot of enemies. And when David was in a state of weakness because of family matters, personal family matters with his son Avshalom, and Avshalom had a falling out with his son, and Avshalom wanted to take over the Malchus, comes out of the woodwork all of David's enemies to take advantage of the situation. And two of those people were Achitofel and Doye Kuadoimi. Achitofel was jealous of David, and now that he saw David was weak, he tried to weaken David even more by giving advice to Avshalom. Avshalom was willing to listen to bad advice. And the bad advice that he gave Avshalom was that he should live with David's pilakshim. And by doing so, that would basically, it would basically make the machloikis between David and Avshalom permanent. He wanted to make sure there would be no reconciliation. Just because there was a machloikis between David and his son Avshalom, who knows, maybe they'll make peace. Father and a child can make peace. But if Avshalom would go so far to live with the pilakshim of David, that would be considered such a heinous crime, such a crime, there's no turning back. Then that would solidify the machloikis, and that would basically push David out, even as long as Avshalom's malchus, his support, would increase, there would be no reconciliation, and Avshalom, he felt, would ultimately win. So Achitofel here gives the worst advice you can possibly give to Avshalom. The worst thing possible is to live with the Pilakshei Aviv. And this is what this Mizmor is said in respect to this advice. Basically, this is the background to this entire Mizmor. And you look at this, look at the first two psukim, the first pasuk, yeah.
The halacha for Pelegesh is the same as an Eish Es
Ish? No, it's not. It's not. A Pelegesh, well, you know, I take that back. I don't know exactly. L'chorid is, because the only difference between a Pelegesh and a regular wife is they're both fully married. It's an Eish Es Ish. The only difference is a Pelegesh does not have a ksuba. That if a man wants to divorce a Pelegesh, he does not need to pay her the ksuba. There is no ksuba.
Instead of married,
Azar lives with that Pelegesh.
Right, that's a morbe malchus. What about an eishes ish? Eikim morbe malchus also chayiv misa. Okay, but what about an eishes ish?
So, even anusat aviv is not allowed to.
Even the knaf aviv. Right. Even if a father was ma'anis a woman, the son is not allowed to marry. Right. So even if a father is ma'anis a woman, there's a halacha that the son is not allowed to marry that woman. So certainly, obviously, it's a horrible crime what's happening over here, and it's shocking that Avshalom was so weak that he was receptive to listen to this advice of Achitofel. Yeah.
One more question. The name Avshalom, it begs a question here. We have this tradition. A person follows his name. His name.
The father of peace. Maybe it's a euphemism. It's a euphemism. Instead of Shalom, it's Machloikis, the father of Machloikis, the axis of evil. It's a euphemism. Instead of the father of peace, it's the father of war.
But is he really the evil one, as you just said, or is
he's being manipulated? Is he being manipulated? Okay, unfortunately. It's been a very long time since I learned Sefer Shmuel. It's a good time to, you know, after we finished Tehillim, Mirtz Hashem, Halavai, we should learn, we should have to go back and learn Nevim Rishonim. We did everything backwards. We started with Nevim Acharonim. In fact, this is the last Sefer in this year, Baruch Hashem, this is the last Sefer from Nevim and Ksuvim. We did Baruch Hashem Nemo.
Right.
This is the last one. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll have to go back to the basics, Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, learn all the stories. There's a ton of Mefarshim. It's like, it's infinite. The amount of Sfarim there are in Sefer Shmuel to go analyze the intrigue of what exactly was going on. Okay, but on a very, very basic level, you're saying very, very good. Rebbe Chol is saying, is it that Avshalom himself was really evil, or he was a weak person in that he was able to be manipulated by some very shrewd and evil people who were the enemies of David. That's the nature of evil people. They take advantage of weak vulnerabilities. And in this case, a weak vulnerability of David.
And ego-driven, you know, you would have to call it, you know, very, very conceited. He had personality.
Avshalom. Well, obviously, if they wanted to make him the Melech, obviously there was a whole network behind him promoting him.
So they fed that ego and ambition
into Avshalom. They misled him. Okay, if you want to make parallels in the modern world of politics, you can make parallels all over the world. You can study. You can study world leaders today. It's political science. There's no end. To analyze how these things come about. But for right now, all we need to know is that we have over here a rebellion taking place. The background is Avshalom and David were not on the same page, and Avshalom was winning this battle. David fled, and David had many enemies from time immemorial, all different types of enemies, and they were all rooting for Avshalom. They were supporting him. He had probably a war chest. Right, that's how they use it today. You have over here a person who loses, a political opponent. They have the people who hate the person in power, and they give enormous amount of money to political opponents. So obviously Avshalom had enormous support by some very powerful people who were using him as a wedge to get rid of David. And Achitofel really went over the top. He went over the top. You talk about in current events, the whole world is debating. The FBI raided the home of the former president of the United States and even took away his passport. And even though they took away his current passport. They confirmed it. They confirmed there were three passports. Two that were expired. and one that was current. So, okay, I'm not coming over here to talk politics, even though I always do anyway, but you can go debate the merits. Was it correct, not correct, backwards and forwards? So here you have Avshalom. You have exactly the same thing. You have over here Avshalom. Avshalom was an opponent to David, and there are people out there that are using him as a way to get rid of David. David had many, many enemies on memorial. Achitofel went over the top. He went over the top by advising Avshalom to live with the Pilak She'oviv in order to show he is the king. I am the king and not my father. This act would be a point of beyond return. Once you step over this red line, there will never be reconciliation. It is something which really, really goes beyond what people are going to have to take sides. When you do something like this, when Avshalom, who's an usurper to the throne, lives with the Pilak She'oviv, no one can say, "Oh, leave me alone. It's Parif. I don't want to get involved in politics." Everyone now is forced to take a side. Who do you side with? Because this is something which really, really goes beyond. If you support Avshalom, that's it. If you don't support Avshalom, then you have no choice but to say that Avshalom stepped over the red line, and it's now a different situation. This mizmar is David's response to Achitofel, who advised his son to live with his father's pilakshim. That is how this is the, which one of the mefarshim says this? Let's go try to find everything. Look at the Sipurno. This Sipurno, Pasuk Beis, Ne'um, the words Pesha, L'rasha, Bekerev Libi. Okay, we'll see exactly how the words are translated in one moment. Just want to give you the background to this mizmor. Oimer li, Oisa Pesha. Okay, we'll read the words in a moment, but Sheyo'at Achitofel L'rasha. Who is the Rasha? Who is the subject of Rasha? L'Avshalom Hamorid. Hamayrid ba'aviv. Okay, that's not the whole thing. We have to look. There's a moment for us that tells exactly what which refers to. He told him to live with the pilakshim. Yeah.
I have a question on previous pasuk. He called himself Eved Hashem. I think Eved Hashem was only two people got that title.
Moshe.
Yeshua at the end. At the end. Before died. So who gave him permission to do that? To call himself Eved Hashem.
You're saying good? I don't know. You're saying very good. Where did Eved Hashem is something that Hashem calls you? You don't call yourself an Eved Hashem. Lamatzech le'Eved Hashem. Le'Eved Hashem le'David. So it could be what it means is he's not referring, okay, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily mean that David is calling himself an Eved Hashem. Le'David means there's a lamed here. The Lam means David was inspired Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh to compose this mizmar regarding a person who is the Eved Hashem. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's describing himself as the Eved Hashem. David is saying, "I'm going to compose this mizmar that I was inspired through Ruach HaKodesh regarding a human being who is an Eved Hashem." It doesn't necessarily mean that David here is calling himself the Eved Hashem. Okay, we have to see. Here, let's put it on the side. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Now, over here, the Sipun does not say, where did I see this? So, over here, somewhere I was preparing. Let's see over here. Let me look quickly over the Mefarshim over here. We're going to discuss a lot of these things over here. Let's see over here what it says. When he lived with.
Says it sort of, he touches upon it in on some small way to say that it's. He's talking about himself, basically, but not. To say that he is just that he recognizes that he has somebody over him as opposed to a Russia who feels like he's in charge.
Okay, so we'll come to that. So this is one interpretation. This is one.
Just the sentence that he wanted to show us.
Where? Is Sipurno? Oh, okay, you're right. The top line. Zeha Mizmar. Excellent. Mark is always on the mark. Zeha Mizmar Alachi Soifel. Sheyoatz es Avshalom lishkav im pilak she'aviv. Okay, this is advice. This was a critical moment in the falling out of Avshalom and David. And this mizmor is David's response. His response to Achitofel, how dare you? How dare you? Okay, we're focusing on one very specific event, period. Okay, that's interpretation number one. Interpretation number two, look at the Chaimus Hanoch. Fascinating what he says, the Chaimus Hanoch, on page 317. It says there, it says, Nu'um Pesha L'Rosha, Koslu Gurei Ho Arizal. This is an expression, the Talmidim of the Arizal, like the young lions. Gur Aryeh Yehuda, a gur is a young lion. The Arizal, essentially the Arizal is a lion. The Arizal. What was his, I don't even know what his name was. Luria. What was his first name? The name of the Arizal. Aleph, it's the Rosh Tevis. Aleph Reish Yud. What does it stand for? And the Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. So, because Ari is a lion, it's a very beautiful expression. Because Ari, the Arizal, is a lion. Ari is a lion, like an Aryeh in Ari. So we call his students the Gurei Huari. So he writes here, the students of the Arizal. The Arizal never wrote anything. He never wrote one word. Everything we have from the Arizal was recorded by Rav Chaim Vital. Okay, he recorded, he was a student. Arizal died very young. He died in 37 years old. 37 years old. And he was the big expounder, elucidator of Torah HaNistar, and a student of Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital went and recorded everything that he said and wrote over what he taught him. And from that came a whole movement of Mikubalim. And they all explain this Mizmor Lamed Vav, in reference to the Nochash. Zeha Mizmor Medaber Al Asher Pito Nochash L'chavo. You see, it's very good. Look, Daf Yomi, learning about Oynes and Mefate. Oynes and Mefate, to seduce. That the Nochash seduced. Al Asher Pito Nochash L'chavo. The Nochash seduced Chava. Vehetil Bo Zuhama. He convinced her to give Adam from the Eitz Hadas, to eliminate her husband, so that the Nochash could marry Chava. The Nochash wanted to live with Chava. He saw Adam and Chava living together. The Lo Yisboy Shashu. They were engaging in Priya Urviya, in marital relations, uncovered. And the Nochash had a Yetzahara for Chava. So he went and he went on this long, complicated mission, this plan to seduce Chava, to give Adam from the Eitz Hadas so that Adam will die, and then
so
the Nachash. Yes.
So then you have the first attempted murder.
No, it's all.
Look. Cain and Hevel was the first murder. What?
No, this was the first attempted murder. Why don't you give him credit for being murdered?
Okay, no, I think Kai and Hevel. Okay. I don't know the timeline. The timeline is complicated. I don't know the timeline. Time, there are multi dimensions. And when it comes to time, who says, you know, time is a complicated matter? When exactly every single event happened? But the point is, in the Hanami over here, this is a response to the Nochosh. The Nochosh HaKadmoini. That's what this whole mizmor is all about. Now, the third interpretation is a very fascinating mahalich, very long, is ma'arich very, very much, from the Malbim. The Malbim says this is just a general response to the everyday Yetzirah that comes to man and tries to convince him to do an Avera. We'll read the Malbim inside, at least part of the Malbim, describing every day. It's a constant life battle. Man struggles every single day with the Yetzirah. Every day the Yetzirah comes to a person and says, I got an idea for you. I have a solution to all your problems. Just trust me. And whatever I tell you to do, you do. You do what I tell you to do. This mizmor is David's response to the Eved Hashem. As Rav Kalman mentioned, what if David is calling himself the Eved Hashem? What are you talking about? How dare you, David? David, Hashem calls man the Eved Hashem. You don't call yourself the Eved Hashem. So, Enochinami, this mizmor is a composition of what a person, an average person, should say to the Yetzer HaRa when the Yetzer HaRa comes and tries to persuade him to do an Avera. And we'll see, it's very beautiful how the Malbim explains this whole idea.
So you're saying someone who aspires to be an Eved Hashem.
Yes, excellent. Someone who aspires to be an Eved Hashem, this is a tool. We're giving you here ammunition. We're giving you weapons, how to deal with this cunning, wicked being called the Yetzer Hara when he attempts to persuade you, to seduce you to do an Avera. Here is the ammunition you can use, you can dwell upon to respond and to avoid his attack. So Sach HaKol, at least for now, okay, these are the three that appear on these two pages that I was able to extract. Three different ideas. That's always the most fun part of Tehillim is always the first shiur on each mizmar. Because the first, then it just goes on and it gets repetitious. But the first shiur on the first thing in every single mizmar is who wrote the mizmar. You know, that's always very important because I think they're real and there are at least 10 people who contributed to the mizmarim. Who wrote the mizmar? At least 10. There's really more than 10. But what is the background? What's the background? What's going on over here? Is it referring to a story in Tanakh? Is it referring to the future, Mashiach? What's it referring to? So I have here on the page three very different mahalchim as to the background of what this is all about. Either we are going back, a classic mahalich in Tehillim is that David, everything in Tehillim is David's a reflection on his own life. It's like L'havdil elef alfei avdolos, Bibi Netanyahu is set to release a memoir. And it's called My Story. That's what it's called. My Story. Okay, anyone can get an advanced copy of the book, My Story. So Tehillim is David's memoir. My Story. That's really what it is. That's the classic Mahalach in Yeshiva Ketana. That's what they teach you. David had a very rich, colorful life. Many events, and every step of the way, he davened to Hashem, and he expressed his frustrations, and his successes, and his dilemmas. And now, at the end of his life, he compiled. It's like a memoir on his life. If you want to go down that path, which is very traditional, very classic, then yes. This mizmar is referring specifically to the moment in time when David was running away from his son. His son was trying to kill him. All of David's enemies, they took advantage. That's all you see, you study, the more you see politics, you see when there's a weakness, everyone, all of the Mishagayim come out of the woodworks, the chaparayim, to do what they can do, to exploit.
Say the knives come out.
To exploit a weakness in a situation. David's enemies were thrilled when Avshalom tried to get rid of his own father. They all joined the bandwagon and they all gave him advice how to make things worse. And Achitofel was the worst to tell Avshalom, live with your father's pilakshim. In response to that event, David composed this mizmar. Number two, we're going back to the Nochash HaKadmoini, who persuade Chava to give Adam from the Eitz Hadas. Number three, we're referring to the common man who struggles his entire life with the enemy, the Eitz Hara. How do you deal with the Eitz Hara?
David had the same encounter with Shaul, and he says, I don't know who me he seated from the deep. He said,
they should be obliterated. Why did David have so many enemies? It's very interesting. David had so many. What did David do to have so many enemies? What? He was ginger.
Especially
his son. Yeah, it's shocking. You know, you think David, you retell him, David was such a good person. Such a good person. Why do, like, you know, you talk about anti-Semitism. Why do the Goyim hate us? Oh, we understand. I mean, we don't understand. I shouldn't say it. We don't understand. But, you know, there's Yaakov and Esav. There's Yishmael, Goresh, Esben, Huamo, Hazois. Yaakov got the Brochois. Esav foolishly sold the Bechorah to Yaakov. They're jealous. By Matan Torah, Hashem gave us the Tasha, Bochar Banu. Okay, they are mahalchim. Okay, they are mahalchim to explain the best that we can anti-Semitism. But amongst Jews, why do Jews hate each other? That's much more difficult to understand. We're all part of the same team. And David, I mean, David is trying to be Mashiach. So why do these people, why do they hate him so much? So because the jealousy is so great amongst our own, amongst our own people, it really needs Hezber. It's a big mystery, the hatred of the goyim on behalf of the Jews. After everything is said and done, their hatred does not correlate to, it's not proportional to why they should hate us. We have a whole collection of reasons of why they should hate us. Ad kedei kach, what they've done to the Jewish people throughout history, it doesn't make any sense. Alachas kam v'kam, it doesn't make sense why David, all of these people hate David to such a crazy degree. I mean, what's going on? There's something which really, really needs explanation. In any event, let's now see the first pasuk is the pasuk base is really a great pasuk as a poster child for all of Tanakh. That you have to, a pasuk is not meant to be read in order. This is not a sentence in English or in modern Hebrew. A pasuk in Nach is a puzzle. And you have to take the pasuk, take the words, and reorder the words in order to make sense out of the pasuk. It's a poetry. It's an expression of poetry. And the only way you can understand the pasuk is by reordering the words. And that's this pasuk base is class. First, Lavetzeach Le'evet Hashem L'David. Then it says Nu'um Pesha L'Rasha. Now Nu'um means the words of, Nu'um means the words of Pesha. Pesha means sin. La Rasha, for the evil man. Bekerev Libi. Ein pachad elokim leneged einav, there is no fear of Hashem before your eyes. If you read the words in order, it doesn't make one bit of sense. You have to rearrange the order to rearrange the order of the words in order to translate the words. Look at the Mitzvah Stavah first. Mitzvah Stavah right away says Nu'um b'hasha ritzon eloimar. Whenever ritzon eloimar means stop, it means obviously there's a major difficulty over here in translating the words in order. And he right away rearranges the order. Choishev ani bekerev libi. So the first words of the pasuk are, you skip the first three words and you go to the words bekerev libi. Inside of my heart, David says, shehayetzer hara, I believe that it is shehayetzer hara, that's the pesha. The pesha is the yetzer hara. The oimer l'rasha, and the Yetzer Hara says to the Rasha, "Ein mi ba'olam." There's no reason why sheyiyeh pachad Elokim l'neged einav. There's no reason why you should be afraid of any one of Hashem. Ki ein hamakom mashkiach ba'olam hashav. Because Hakadosh Baruch Hu, this classic Happy Courses, Hakadosh Baruch Hu does not pay attention to the lowly things in this world. V'lama v'lezem asay mash libruchavitz. Do whatever you want. Look at Rashi. Rashi is exactly the same thing. The Mitzudas David. I'm reading now the Mitzudas David. Okay, let's read Rashi. Rashi a little bit more clear. Read Rashi. Louis Rashi. Pasuk base. Nu'um pesha l'rasha bekerav libi. Harei ze mikra misoiros. Do not attempt to translate the words in order. Rather, read. It's a puzzle, and we're going to start with the middle of the pasuk. Yesh bekerev libi. David says, I firmly believe. Shehapesha. What is the subject of the word pesha? Who yetzer hara. David says, I believe that the yetzer hara, oimer l'rasha, says to the rasha, shelo yehe pachad elokim l'neged einav. Convinces, persuades the Rasha not to have Yiras Hashem. Bekerev Libi, now Rashi goes back to explain the expression. Bekerev Libi means, it appears to me, this is my assessment, my thesis. Ki Odom She'oimer Ki Midume Ani. It appears to me the following. David is looking at Achitofel, or David is looking at the Yetzer Hara, David is looking at the Nachash. And David says, Bekerev Libi, it appears to me that the Pesha is that the Yetzer Hara, Nu'um, has said or has declared, says, or has persuaded La Rasha. Now, La Rasha here is a hard word to translate because the person is not yet a Rasha. He's called a Rasha al shem ha'asid. We have here a vulnerable person. Who is the vulnerable person? Achitofel, or the Nachash, or any person. A person is weak. A weak person that's like Play-Doh. You can mold him any way you want. And the Yetzer Hara preys upon weak, vulnerable people. And the Yetzer Hara comes to them and convinces them that there's no need to be a Yorei Shamayim. Hashem is out to lunch. Maybe Hashem created the world, but he's not here anymore. He went on the Enterprise, the warp speed, to another galaxy to see what's doing somewhere else, and there's no Hashgacha Pratis. David says, this is my analysis of the human condition. So again, we start in the middle of the Pasuk. Bekerev Libi, David says, it appears to me that the Pesha, the Yetzer Hara, Ne'um, has spoken, has expressed himself with powerful persuasion to an individual who is vulnerable, that will ultimately accept the nonsense of the Yetzer Hara and become a Rasha. La Rasha al Shema Asit. What has the Yetzer Hara spoken and convinced this individual who ultimately will listen and follow the advice of the Yetzer Hara? His words are one thing always. Ein pachad Elokim l'neged enav. There is no need for you to be a Yorei Shamayim. Now this pasuk, you win the Nobel Prize for this pasuk. Because this pasuk is basically saying the root of all evil is Yiras Hashem. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Seichel Toiv L'chol Oseim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he would give brachas to people, and the people would go, I want a bracha. You know what his bracha was, his common bracha? You should be a Yorei Shamayim. It's very interesting, because you go to other gedolim, they didn't say that. You should be a Talmud Chacham. You should give your parents nachas. You should, all different types. You know, it's interesting, people say to others, give a bracha to others, what is true about themselves. That's just a common thing. A person's a Yorei Shamayim, appreciates Yorei Shamayim, so when he gives the bracha, to other people, you should be a Yorei Shamayim. And it all starts with an absence of Yiras Shamayim. When people persuade other people to do crazy things, the first question you have to ask, do these people have any fear of God? Do they even believe in God? And that's a very important thing to know. You hear, we live in the modern world, and there are people promoting ideas, concepts. Maybe they're good. You know, times have changed. We live in a modern world. There's technology has advanced to an incredible degree, and people have ideas. People have ideas how to improve the world in many different ways. And some of these ideas, they're very, very good. And no one knows. You hear ideas, you think they're totally crazy. Who says they're so crazy? The first thing you have to ask when someone tries to persuade you to do something, the person behind this, is there Yorei Shamayim? Is there the Pachad Elokim L'neged Einav? And if the person openly says, I don't believe in anything, you have to take a step back. You got to take a step back. What is going on here? Is this has to carry weight? Has to carry weight in going forward with their proposal. So again, the words over here are, this is a very Yeah.
Why don't we say Ohev Shamayim? And I can get the answer for that. Because Yareh is mitzvot lo taaseh.
It's a negative.
Okay. So why not Ohev Shamayim? Behalf Ohev Shem Elokecha. Twice Ohev Shamayim is. Only in Pasuk Echad, Yareh Tam Elokecha, Ani Hashem. Once. It's about all the negative.
The negative, correct.
So why not Ohev Shamayim?
Obviously, the fact that Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, obviously, that's more important. You cannot have Ahavas Hashem unless there's first Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem defines a relationship. Ahava, too much Ahava is no good. Avraham was Ahava. Avraham was Chesed. What did that result in? Yishmael. And what is Yishmael? Yishmael is a noyef. It's too much ahava destroys a relationship. There has to be boundaries. You have to know your place. Bereshis bara Elokim, es hashmayim v'es haaretz. The first thing is, there's a God. Yira defines is the boundaries. There's a ribbono shel olam and there is us. We're not the same. After we define the boundary, now there can be Ahavas Hashem. Obviously, the fact that Yira Shemayim is the Iker. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Yira comes before Ahava. There has to first be, whatever you're afraid of, you distance yourself from. You're afraid of something, you separate. You acknowledge there's a barrier between us and HaShadosh Baruch Hu. That's critical. After you've defined the separation, now we can work on ahava coming close to Hashem. Too much ahava is no good. Like you see that they talk about unconditional love. Unfortunately, the different issues with children, and a lot of people today, if you read these articles, a lot of people today have come around to realize unconditional love is not all it was meant to be. Unconditional love is not. There was a movement probably like 20 years ago of in dealing with issues, unconditional love. And now, 20 years later, you read a lot of people, the professionals in this field who have been dealing with this and have promoted unconditional love have reflected and say, you know, there has to be barriers.
Tough love.
You're saying tough love. Tough love is. It's not so simple. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Everyone has to start by knowing their place. And here, the first thing is, the first attack that the Yetzirah brings upon a person to break down his barriers, to break down his strength, is to attack, to diminish Pachad Elokim. Now, obviously, there are many, many, many different terms for Yiras Hashem. Okay, we have Yiras Hashem, Yiras Elokim. Here we have a new term, Pachad. Pachad Elokim. By Amalek, what does it say by Amalek? V'lo Yorei Elokim. Yorei, Amalek, the way we define Amalek is V'lo Yorei Elokim. What does Yosef say to Paro? Es Elokim Ani Yorei. And then we learn in this week's parasha, Parshas Ekev, this is Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach Kiyim Liyira Oso. Now here it says Hashem. Mo Hashem. What does the passage say entirely?
El Hashem Elokecha.
Mo Hashem. Here, but it starts with Hashem is Yudke Vavke. Mo Hashem Elokecha Kiyim Liyira Oso. I mean, it's really the very basics. Yiras Hashem. That's it says Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach Kiyim Liyira Oso. The reason why we say Al Tikri Mo Elameya, we have an obligation to recite every single day 100 blessings. What is the purpose of the 100 blessings? In order to bring Yiras Shemayim, and here we have a new term. We have a new term when we say when we bless the new month. This Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarchim, Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. And what do we say three times? We say Chaim Sheshem Yiras Shemayim, and then we say Yiras Chait, and again Yiras Shemayim. This Yiras Chait, Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Elokim, and here we have a new term, Pachad. The Pachad Elokim. What is the difference between the word Pachad and Yira? I don't remember. There are a lot of Mefarshim. Some say Pachad is a sudden fear. Yira is a sustained. It is a fear that naturally grows and develops. Whereas Pachad is a sudden terror that comes upon a person. Yitzchak said about Yitzchak, Yaakov said about Yitzchak, Upachad Yitzchak. Why did he use the word Upachad, the Pachad of Yitzchak?
Because
Yitzchak
was still alive, that's
right. He didn't want to say Pachad. Okay, right, so I don't know, there are different expressions. Over here, the Targum, like the Targum, the Chalta. The Targum does not differentiate. This is what we learn over here in the afternoon. We learn in the afternoon, those little, we have a little share. The different terms. Targum does this very, very often. He takes words, and then you can't bring it right from the Targum and Sefer Tehillim, but the Targum generally, he simplifies the Hebrew language by translating many words with the same Aramaic words. And you see an example of that over here, even though over here there's not a raya, there's no raya for what it says over here in the Targum and Tehillim, but it says the word dachalta here in the Targum when he's translating the word pachad. And the word dachalta is typically the word that he used to translate the word yira. So obviously there's a very similar relationship. And maybe the reason why it says this is another idea, l'neged einav. This is something that is different, because there's yirah shamayim, okay, yirah shamayim, and then there's a type of pachad that's l'neged einav, in front of your eyes. This connotes an intensity. Then we say Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. Here we have the Pachad Elokim Lenegdi Enaf. Okay, this is the basic Yisoid of this Mizmar, the principle of the Yirah Shamayim. The enemies of David, the enemies of man, have in common one Yisoid, absence of Yiras Hashem. Now again, this pasuk is an important pasuk. It's like a really good poster child for all the different pasukim in Tanakh. You have to translate the words of the pasuk as a puzzle. You take words and you have to start in the middle, go backwards and forwards. David says, it appears to me, Bekerev Libi, this is my PhD thesis. I'm going to summarize my analysis of the human condition in one pasuk. This is my analysis. It is Bekerev Libi, an insight that the Pesha is a code word for the Yetzirah. Ne'um, he speaks a language, he has expressions and techniques that speak to people who potentially can become wicked, La Rasha. To these people, what does he tell them the entire day? There is no need for you to have any fear of God. Once you take away Pachad, everything goes. There is no limit. There is no limit to how low a man can go when there is no Yiras Hashem. There is no limit. And that's a scary thing. It's a scary. How do you get Yiras Shamayim? Good question. That's a really tough question, how to get Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim, you know, everyone, different strokes, different techniques work for different people, but one technique that's been proven to work very well is the study of Torah. The study of Torah somehow, in a way that we do not know, that cannot be explained in any science, somehow the words of Torah have a holiness in them. And when the mind engages in learning Torah, it somehow increases a person's sensitivity to Yiras Hashem. That has been proven, that's a fact. Torah, the study of Torah, not just a casual learning, a commitment to learning Torah and engaging in the study of Torah, it somehow affects a person. He has a certain sense of Yirah Shamayim. Okay, now let's take a look over here at.
He spoke blessing, but inside,
yeah,
Look what happened here. The can of Nibro, he wanted to curse. That's exactly what happened.
Okay, he's saying a drush, because over here the word Bekarav Libi, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, refers to David. David is saying, I'm making an analysis.
The Poshea, Bekarav Libo, he wanted to do something.
Okay, so he's saying a different idea. Because according to the way Rashi and the Mitzudos, the word Pesha is the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is convincing, is speaking. Look at the Rashi again. Look at the Rashi again. Nu'um Pesha, Nu'um Pesha L'Rosha. Look at the Rashi again. Harei Zeh Mikra Misaras. Yesh Bekarav Libi. What does that mean? Go jump down to the end of Rashi. When it says Yesh, there is Bekarav Libi, Rashi, the end of the last line, Bekarav Libi, Ke'odam Sho'aymer Ke'medumel Ani. It appears to me. David is saying this. David is saying, be careful, ki adam sha'aymer ki medume li. You're saying a Jewish, I hear what you're saying. But the similar...
Yeah, Rashi means, yesh be careful, libi, I'm thinking that the sheha rasha, let's say, do yetzer hara, speaks to the person and he convinced him to end Elohim or whatever. This whole thing is ne'um shel ha-posheya.
Okay, it's a different interpretation. You're saying, Let's see if we read the Rashi again. Which Rashi later on defines means, it appears to me the following. Shah Pesha. What is the translation of the word Pesha? Who is the Pesha? What is the subject? So Rashi explains, the Pesha in this Pasuk is a title for the Yetzirah. Who? Yetzirah. The Yetzirah Oimer. Go back to the first word. The Yetzirah speaks, persuades. That's the Nu'um. So the Yetzirah is speaking. Who is he speaking to? Who is the Yetzirah? Who is his audience? His audience are vulnerable people who are weak, who will listen and become a Rasha. So the Rasha is Al Shem Ha'asid, according to Rashi. Because when the Yetzirah first begins to speak, he's talking to a person who has not yet done anything wrong yet. It's because this person is weak and he's vulnerable, he's willing to listen to the Yetzirah and accept what he says, he turns into a Rasha. So he's not yet a Rasha when the conversation begins. But by the time the conversation is over, this person becomes a Rasha. So the Pesha is the Yetzirah, Nu'um, he speaks. To whom does he speak? He speaks to the person that will listen to him and will become a Rasha, La Rasha. And what is the topic of conversation? The conversation is, jump to the end of the Pasuk, Ein Pachad Elokim Leneged Einav. I'm advising you, my advice to you is, remove from your neshama Yiras Elokim. Well, the Rashi, Harei Zeh Mikra Misaras, Yesh Bekarav Libi, meaning it appears to me the following: Sheha Pesha. What's the Pesha? Hu Yetzirah. Oimer, he speaks and he says La Rasha to the individual that will ultimately become a Rasha when he accepts the advice of the Yetzirah. Shelo Yehe Pachad Elokim Leneged Einav. Bekarav Libi, it goes back, Rashi, to explain, this is what appears to me. Let's look at the Mitzvah of David again, one more time, on page 317. Nu'um Pesha, Ritzoyno Loimar. Same idea. Choshev Ani Bekarav Libi. David HaMelech is speaking. And David says, the following is my analysis. I'm a licensed psychologist. I've gone to the best schools. I've analyzed society. I have a career of talking to people and understanding the human condition. And this is my final thoughts, my analysis. Shehayetzahora, the Pesha, who is the Yetzahora, Mesis. That is the translation of the word Nu'um. Okay, he embellishes the word Nu'um. Mesis the Oimer. He seduces. He entices.
He incites with words, La Rasha. Who is the Rasha? It can't mean he's a Rasha now because he didn't do, because the person didn't do anything yet. It means the vulnerable person that will be willing to accept the nonsense of the Yetzirah and will be transformed into a Rasha. What does he say to him? He teaches him the following principle. There is nothing in this world that demands of you that there should be pachad of Hashem before your eyes. Why? So the Metzudas elaborates, because even if you believe that there is a God, he is not present. He left the planet. Ki ein hamokoi mashkiach ba'olam, there is no hashkoch pratis. He's not mashkiach ba'olam hashafol, this lowly world, ulezen, therefore, because we are going to remove from your consciousness yiras Elokim, now you can do whatever you want. As long as you can get away with it, right? You just have to be clever and smart to get away with it. It's no moral conscience. That was Freud. Okay, Freud tried to remove from man his moral conscience. The Nazis also. Why do they hate us? They write this up a lot. What do they hate about the Jews? What is Amalek? What does Amalek hate about the Jews? I mean, the Pasuk says it. V'lo yari Elokim. It's almost explicit. They wrote, I think the Nazis. I don't know exactly what I'm referring to, but they cannot stand the Jew because the Jew has a deep yiras Elokim. They call it a moral conscience. What is a moral conscience in essence? Yiras Elokim. Isn't that the same thing? It's just a synonym. Yiras Elokim is what the Goyim call a moral conscience. They don't even want to say Yiras Elokim because it's anathema. They can't deal with it.
It's
the same exact thing. The moral conscience is really, in essence, Yiras Elokim. The Torah explicitly says their condition. V'lo yorei Elokim. And from that, you'll do anything. You'll go Holocaust, the atrocities, the crimes are just not to be believed. And obviously, this is the secret to life. The secret to life is to be a Yorei Elokim, to be a Yorei Shemayim. And how do you go about becoming a Yorei Shemayim? It's very hard. This is a lifelong battle to acquire Yiras Elokim. It's very hard, deep down inside. A person can be a whole day, be a tzaddik, because he's embarrassed to do averus in a society where you don't do these things. And then when no one is watching, a person does things that are not acceptable. And why? Because v'lo yari Elokim. The Yiras Shemayim is just misaf of alachutz. How does a person really put into his neshama true Yiras Elokim, that when he's in the private and no one is watching, he should be the real deal? It's very hard. And people have been trying very hard to build Yiras Elokim. And one of the things, like we said many times, that really works is the study of Torah. You learn Torah, and again, it's not logical, it's magic. Shor shenogach esapara, somehow it puts into the neshama an awareness that Hashem is present. And there's going to be din v'cheshbon. It's not easy. I mean, that's the avoid of life. Okay, now we have to read a little bit of the Malm. The Malm is beautiful. It's absolutely stunning what the Malm says. The Malm learns that this entire pasuk over here is a reference to the conversation between the Yetzirah and man. Let's learn just a little bit of the Malm. Pasuk base. Nu'um pesha l'rosha bekerev libi. So it says here in the pasuk, bekerev libi umachshu v'osai. Nimsa nu'um pesha l'rosha. Now, what does this mean? Inside of my heart and in my thoughts, nimsa, there are nu'um, the words of pesha l'rosha. Now, right away off the bat, Rav Kalman, maybe what you were trying to say is what the Malbum says. Okay, Rav Kalman, you tried to say different words over here. It appears the Malbum is translating the words here very differently than Rashi and the Metzudas David. Bekerev Libi is not, according to the Malbum, is not David's final analysis, a summary, an abstract of his PhD thesis. It's not what it is. Bekerev Libi means this, I hear voices in my head. It's not a joke, Rachmana Litzlan. People go to doctors and they say to the doctor, I hear voices in my head. It's a serious matter. There's someone talking to me. So the truth is, every single person, to a degree, hears voices in his head. Who's talking to him? The Yetzer Hara. Right. So when it says here, Bekerev Libi, according to the Malbim, this doesn't mean like, okay, David now, he's giving an address. I'm an expert in the field, and we're having a conference to discuss the human condition. I'm now going to go and tell you my opinion. No, that's not what it means. What it means over here is every single human being in this world says, there's someone talking to me in my head. Who is that? That's the Yetzer Hara talking to you. And what does he say? One more time. Bekerev libi umach shavoysai, in my heart, which means in my thoughts, I hear voices. Nimsa, there is found there ne'um, words of pesha l'rasha. I'm the Rasha. The Yetzer is trying to make me into the Rasha. And I hear him talking to me. Hainu, what does this mean? Hata'onos, the claims, the arguments. Sheyidaber ha-pesha. The pesha, according to the Malbim, is the same as what it says in the Mitzvot of Rashi, the Yetzer Hara. El ha-Rasha. I'm the Rasha. Because he's trying to make me into a Rasha. Mitzayer ki'ilu, David describes, ki'ilu ha-chet misvakeach im ha-Rasha. The chait here means the Yetzer Hara is arguing with the Rasha, myself. Now he gives, and he explains there are two, now he simplifies everything into two different arguments. Ki ha-seichel yamoid neged ha-pesha. On the other hand, my Yetzer Toiv, we're calling it the seichel, okay, my intellect, we're going to call the Yetzer Toiv, is yamoid neged ha-pesha. He says, no, get out. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Nonsense. Quiet. Sheket. You get out of here. Don't. We don't want to hear what you have to say. V'yisarev, and refuses milamalois ritzino, to listening to these arguments. And he goes on to explain it. V'apesha ya'areich te'onois kinegdo. They go back and forth. In other words, there's a debate going on in my mind between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Toiv. The Yetzer Hara is a being that cannot be defined, and the Yetzer Toiv is man's natural logic. It's the Seichel. The Eloheim. And now he goes on to give you an analysis. Ki bechlal ha-mitzvahs v'ho as ha-roish nos na-shem lonu yesh shnei deos. Okay, there are two approaches, and he says they're both valid. It's a very beautiful Malmum. It's a hashkafic Malmum. It explains quite a bit. He summarizes here many, many books. This is a summary of a whole encyclopedia of Jewish thought. And the how does man relate to Hashem's mitzvahs? We have Taryag mitzvahs. What's the purpose of Taryag mitzvahs? So let me try to summarize it in a few words, then we'll read it inside in detail. Is it the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we look at Hashem as a melech, a king, and he said, these are the commandments, don't ask questions, do what you're told, follow orders. And if you don't follow orders, you'll be punished. If you follow orders, you'll be rewarded. Trust Hashem. This is what Hashem wants you to do, and just behave. Is that the pshat? Is that the way we look at the mitzvahs? Or do we say no? It's a little bit different. Hashem is not commanding us as a king with a whip, a pistol, and a big stick. Hashem is speaking to us like a father who loves us. And Hashem says, listen, you can do whatever you want with your life, but I want to give you good advice. If you'll do these things, you will have a good life. Naturally. Because these mitzvahs and techniques that I'm teaching you, they're good for you. So a person can say, okay, I hear what you have to say, but you know, I have a Yetzirah, and I can't always do what's good for me. So L'mayin Nafka Mina between these two different approaches, if a person is in violation of the advice. If it's a command, then if you violate the command, whether you like it or not, a bolt of lightning will come out of the heaven and strike you down. If Hashem gave us Tayag Mitzvos as advice from a grandfather, and he says, you know, my grandchild, let me give you some good advice. You're going into business. I was in the business for 50 years. Let me tell you, give you some good advice. Trust me. So, Grandpa, I hear what you have to say, but you have to understand, you know, I'm only a human being and I can't always follow your advice. So if you don't follow the advice of the grandfather, is the grandfather going to go and beat you up? Of course not. Of course not. You'll learn the hard way yourself. But it's not with an attitude that if you disobey, you're done. So the Malbim basically says that Eilu v'Eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Hashem gave us the mitzvahs, and Hashem says to us, don't think, don't ask questions, you're a soldier. Follow orders. If you don't follow orders, you'll be disciplined. You'll be court-martialed. You'll be punished. Follow the rules. There are 613 rules. Don't deviate yamin u'smal. But there's another dimension of Hashem's mitzvahs. Eilu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim. Hashem is giving us good advice. Hinei ha'chayim v'yes ha'moves nosati lefonecha u'bacharta b'chayim. It's for your own good. If you don't listen to me, all right, I'm not insulted. But you're only harming yourself. So the Yetzer Hara, when the Yetzer comes to a man and tells man, you don't have to do the mitzvahs. The Yetzer Hara has to unravel both approaches. Approach number one, that you're a soldier in Hashem's army. The Yetzer has to say to man, you're not a soldier, you're a free man. And when the Yetzer wants to unravel the second approach, that your grandfather gave you some good advice how to live your life and be successful, the Yetzer is going to say, your grandfather is out of touch. He's from a different generation. He doesn't get it. You're living in a modern world. He's just out of touch. So don't worry. It's not for your good. Don't listen to him. You do whatever you want to go do. And he's now going to read into the psukim, the whole mizmah. This is where we're not going to go into this because it's way over out of my head. He's going to basically read into the whole mizmah, going to vacillate back and forth between the two different arguments, the two different, you have to start out with understanding what is our relationship with Hashem. Is our relationship that Hashem is the king and we are soldiers? Or is our relationship that Hashem is like a grandfather who loves us and pats us and touches our face and says, let me give you good advice. The Yetzer Hara has to come in every pasuk, respond, this is a mitzvah. You have to get up, you have to say Kriya Shema. How is the Yetzer Hara going to convince you not to say Kriya Shema? So if the Kriya Shema is a command from a sergeant, from a king, he's going to have to present an argument, you're not a soldier anymore. And when the Yetzer is going to come and tell you that if it's not good advice from a grandfather who loves you, he's going to have to give you an entirely different argument. And he's going to read into the psukim back and forth the Yetzer Hara's technique in weakening our resolve to mimekayim the mitzvos from both of these approaches, which are equally valid. Each one is one, you can't have one without the other. It's very fascinating how the Malbim, you see, this is very important, you cite. The Malbim is very deep. He's saying both of these are true. When you learn many of the Rishonim, you don't get that impression. You get the impression that mitzvahs, you know, akal to litvak, this is the law, do the law, and don't ask questions. You rip out the emotion, the passion, the love, and like a Litvish approach, a kalta litvak. It's the law. Why do you have so much rachmanis on a yosam and almana? They once interviewed someone, a cult of Litvak, and a secular newspaper, a very secular newspaper, interviewed, I don't want to tell you, it's a little bit lashon hara, the whole story. They interviewed a bocher about a certain group of Jews, and to try to understand their mindset. And in the conversation, the bacher basically says, it just the way these people operate, it's just the law. They adhere to the law. They follow the law 100% without any emotion. So then the reporter says, but you know, they're very good. I noticed they have to orphans. They go, these people, they bend backwards. That shows they have compassion. They have a heart. They have feeling. They have compassion upon orphans. So the bacher says, they don't have any compassion on anyone. The reason why they're good to the orphans is because that's the law. That's what it says in the Torah. It says in the Torah, you have yosam v'almana. So that's why they're very good to them. Not because, good morning, how are you? Good morning. Watch your step over here. Not because they have rachmanos. They have a heart. They don't have a heart. They're cold like stone. The reason why you see they have institutions to take care of orphans and widows is because it says in the Torah, that's what you're supposed to do. So that's what they do. Don't give them too much credit. It's a little humorous, okay? It's humorous. So you know, you get that impression. That mahalach is, everything in Torah is just one thing only. It's the law. And then you'll go and you'll study other Hasidish Svarim. And you're going to read in these Svarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He loves us. And He gave us the mitzvahs for our benefit. Because timtum halev, don't eat not kosher food. And don't go look at things that are not proper because it affects your neshama. They take away from Yadus, there's a law. There's a melech. There's follow the rules. No, you get the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. He's a grandfather. You do this. No, if you don't listen to your grandfather, so what? Who cares? So you didn't listen to the grandfather. There are no consequences. If your grandfather says to you, my taita, einikol, let me give you some good advice. And then 5 minutes later, you go out into the street and you go and you totally ignore what he tells you to do and you do the opposite. Are there consequences? Of course not. That's a danger. The Malbim is brilliant. The Malbim here says, basically, these are two sides of the same. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Both of these mahalchim, without even mentioning the Litvish approach, a cold approach to Torah, versus the warm emotional approach. There's the rational and the emotional. Without even mentioning, he says they're both. You cannot separate one from the other. You cannot separate. They're all part of the same team. And when the Yetzer Hara is going to come to attack you, watch out. He's going to come to you to argue to remove your commitment from the rational approach. And from the emotional approach. And we'll read it into the Pasuk. Okay, so let's read very quickly over here. Let's go over here to the third line. It's very worthy to look at, to read these words in the third line in the Malbim, Pasuk Beis. Ki bichlal ha-mitzvahs v'ho asara shnas nashem lanu yesh shnei deyos. Yesh oimim some say she'in ha-torah ha-mitzvah hu kemelech. Mitzave al avdoi zois tase v'zois loy tase. Sheho eved mechuyev l'shmoy l'koyloi mibnei pachtoi umaroi. Follow the rules. Follow the rules. You deviate, you go out, you step over the line, you're going to be punished. Baal yishal klol matam mitzvah. Don't ask questions. These are the rules. Line up and do what you're told to do. Rak shekein rotzoin ha'odon, that's what Hashem wants. Keep your mouth shut or you'll get a frask. V'yeshoimim, some say, that's not Judaism. That's not Judaism. Judaism is the grandfather. Yeshoimim shekol ha'mitzvah chem lito alo seinu. Every mitzvah is for our benefit. Vidame es Hashem hamitzav aleihem kiroife. A doctor. I told you a grandfather. He says, a doctor who wants your benefit. Hamitzav imazir es achoyel ma'yochal ma'aloyachal. If you can eat too much candy, you're going to be sitting in the chair of Dove. Dr. Dove, the dentist. And he's going to be drilling away. And who knows what? You don't want that.
So now the
Yetzer Hara
is an illness.
Yeah. Oh, the Yetzer Hara is an illness. It is. Look what he says. He says the right words. The Malm knows has the right words. Why do you listen to the mitzvahs? Selfish reasons. Selfish reasons. Because it's for my own benefit. The first approach is, I'm not selfish. The king says to do it. Just follow the rules. The second approach, I don't care what the king has revealed to me, secret information, I'm doing it for my own benefit. So now, along comes the Malbum, and he says, at least the first pasuk, Neged Hatzara Rishon Sheitan HaPesha Lemar. So now the Yetzer wants to come and weaken a person, so he has to attack him on both sides. He has to attack the Litvak in the person, and the Chosid in every person is a composite of a Litvak and a Chosid. You have to attack the Litvish element of the person, and tell him, Neged Hayetzara Rishon Sheitan HaPesha Lemar, Ein Pachad Elokim Leneged Einav. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the king? There is no king. You're not a soldier. You're a free man. He attacks. Don't follow the rules. Be a rebel. Don't listen. Don't be like everyone else. You believe in this? Prove it. Lama einase piskam amase rome here about goliv negative me adam. He basically just goes and says, look, people go and they violate the king's laws and nothing happens to them. Look, people are in violation of the rules and no one comes. There's no bolt of lightning coming down to strike them out. It must be that Hashem, you don't have to follow orders. This thing that you're a soldier in Hashem's army is not true. Do whatever you want. And then, on the next page, he goes on to say, Gimel, okay, and go turn to page 317, the neged, that's the next part, which we didn't do yet. The neged, the chosid in the person, who observes the mitzvahs on an emotional level, that's the next pasuk. He goes on over here to explain very complicated words. Is that's the way I do that tomorrow? Hashem is. He says it's not true. He basically he persuades him with words that it's really not in your best interest. You think the reason why you're doing a mitzvah is because you love yourself, and by doing this mitzvah, it will give your benefit to your neshama. It's not true. Today we live in a modern world. These mitzvahs are outdated. They're not gonna really, there are other things to do that are going to give you the same benefit. That's the next pasuk. And that's the derech of the Malam throughout this entire mizmar, is the Yetzer Hara vacillates between the litzak in the person, the misnaget and the chosid, the intellectual approach to preserving Hashem, to the emotional approach, and what he's basically doing, the Malbim is incredible. How he's basically showing is elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. In every person, there's a shtickel misnaget and a shtickel chosid. There's an approach, and you cannot separate one from the other. And that's very dangerous. It's very dangerous to have one without the other. If Torah is only going to be a cold approach, you're not going to survive. And if you're just going to focus on emotion, it's dangerous. You'll end up in the wrong place. You're not going to be a Yerush Shemam. You have to have both of them together. And the Yetzer Hara is a continuous battle. Okay, before we conclude, we're going to say one mizmor of Tehillim for Rabbi... Rabbi Aryanovsky, or Aryanovsky over here is a very special person. And let me just get a sitter.
Who's the, how's the Elman doing?
Yainon Hashemesh for Yaketa Bolima, Adonai Yishmar from the Korah, Yishmar is Hashafa, Adonai Yishmar, Tzvecha, Oyecha, Me'atah V'yadolam. What do you say, Yerotzim? Same thing, we say it for Rabbi Yanovsky. Rabbi Yanovsky is having surgery today. I'm going to say the Yerotzim. Joseph. I'll take a short break, and then we will...
He comes here sometime?
No, he doesn't come here, no.
Do we know him?
He knows.